Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show.
There is so much happening right now, and it really is a great spot in the sports calendar. Like, you've got the NFL draft in a week. The NBA playoffs begin for real Saturday. The Stanley Cup playoffs are also getting underway shortly. Commissioner Ears just got to do his very favorite thing in the entire world and ban somebody else for life. More people watch the WNBA draft than have watched any actual WNBA game in 24 years. In other words, people are just all fired up about pretty much everything right now, and I love to see it. I love that energy. I want you to bring me that energy.
Love to see it.
However, despite all that's going on, what people seem to be most fired up by is beef. But of course, beef always sells. Beef always wins. And this is a beef of epic proportions. A beef between a billionaire and a multi-millionaire. And since it's a beef day, it really is a perfect day to talk about this epic beef once again between Bob Kraft and Bill Belichick. Now, I'm not going to deny that this whole beef going extremely public via a bombshell ESPN report is a pretty wild look for Bob Kraft. And by the way, not the best look for Bob Kraft. A wild look. Not quite as wild as getting caught at Orchids of Asia, but still pretty wild. I mean, we are talking about a dude who just benefited from 2 decades on top of the NFL. 2 decades with the IT team in the IT league. And what did he do besides scratch checks? You know, the guy was on top thanks to the GOAT QB and the GOAT head coach. And what Bob had to say about the GOAT head coach reportedly is that he's, quote, very, very, very arrogant. Not one very, not two varies, but 3 varies. Not one, not two, but 3 varies. And on top of that, you'll never have a warm conversation with him. That's also a quote from this ESPN piece. And harshest of all, the hood man cannot be trusted. And Kraft didn't say these things in a vacuum either. He didn't say these things in private. He didn't say it to his kid. He didn't say it internally. According to ESPN, he shared all those takes with the guy who was considering hiring the hood man. He shared those things with Arthur Blank. Kraft was Hoodie's reference in that job interview. And he essentially was the worst reference in the history of references. Despite all that winning, all that glory, which you know he loves, despite them being the biggest reason why this guy is who he is, he cracked back and definitely has it in for the hood. Clearly, it's personal. I mean, this truly is some wild, juicy beef. Now, again, usually, the last thing any of you, myself included, the last thing any of us cares about is billionaires fighting with multi-millionaires. Yet, seemingly, everybody is taking a side here. And incredibly, when the curmudgeonly bore that is the hood normally has nobody outside of diehard Patriots fans having his back, what up, half fam? There are actually plenty of folks defending him and coming for Kraft. Coming for Kraft and saying that he's the most disloyal dude ever for saying that Hood is arrogant as hell and that you can't trust him. And that he just did the dude who made him who and what he is, that he just did him dirty, that he did him all wrong. Now, let me ask you this. Did Bob Kraft really do anything wrong? Again, I don't root. I never root, except for something to talk about. And thanks, fellas. This is something to talk about. But what I don't root for is a fight between a billionaire and a multi-millionaire, especially when neither one of them are inherently that likable to begin with. But why don't we look at this for a moment? How about this? What if it's all true? What if the hood is very, very, very arrogant? What if he is a snake? What if he is an a-hole who's a horrible dude to be around? I mean, would any of that really surprise anybody at all? And then is it wrong to tell your buddy, Arthur, the fellow billionaire, the truth when your buddy is weighing an enormous decision? Is that what we're really upset with Bob Kraft over? For what? For telling the truth? What was he supposed to do? Lie?
You're a liar.
I'm just trying to understand why the people are so outraged by all of this. Why are you so outraged by all of this? And I know most of it's coming from a section of people in New England, a segment of my Chowd half fam. And yes, before you come for me, Chowds, I am you. Well, I'm half you. I'm half you, and I'm half Frisco fam. True story. Anyway, I know a lot of you, because I got some of this on the program yesterday, are endlessly loyal to the mumbler, and you should be. The mumbler gave you a half a dozen Lombardis and two decades on top. But if you take a step back for a second and you take off those Patriot goggles and you stop being a hoodie myopian, what are we actually outraged at Bob Kraft for? That he was being honest? That he told it to his good buddy exactly how it is? Does anybody actually doubt that any of what Kraft reportedly told Blank is true? And if we all know it's true, what did we expect? Did we expect this guy to lie to one of his best friends about a guy that he no longer likes? Listen, for the better part of two decades, the Hood Man was a spectacular head coach. But we can't ignore how brutal and how embarrassing the last 4 years have been. We can't ignore that the Hood Man chased Tom Bacon out of town and probably against Kraft's wishes. And then how'd that go? It blew up in everybody's face just about as badly as anything has ever blown up in anybody's face. We can't ignore that the Hood was horrible in the draft. We can't ignore that the Hood couldn't hire a capable staff. We can't ignore that he completely mishandled the development of his first-round QB and that he is miserable to listen to every time he opens up his mouth. We know this all to be true. And none of that's on Kraft. And those are all much bigger reasons why Hood is out of a job right now than anything Kraft may have said to Blank. My point is this. What's happening to Bill Belichick right now is not on Kraft, it's on Belichick. Hoodie has Hoodie to thank for this toxic mess. Nobody is more to blame for Hoodman's woes than the Hoodman, no matter how bad Kraft looks in this. I mean, spin it around for a minute. Think of it this way. Imagine how toxic the Hood would have to be to erase all that goodwill that he built up from all that winning. Imagine that even after all of that winning, all that money, all that success, all that everything, Kraft, after all that, still can't stand the dude? Imagine how brutal and stubborn and, quote, very, very, very arrogant you'd have to be to burn all of that goodwill. Hey, and by the way, Arthur Blank could have still hired this guy anyway, right? Like, if Kraft told Arthur Blank to jump off a bridge, would he? I mean, come on. And did Kraft get to everybody else in that organization and convince them to vote the Hood off the Falcons Island as well? Because remember, the Hood Man was not in any of their top three final votes, according to that piece on ESPN. And one more thing, it wasn't only Blank that passed on Hood. So did the other seven teams with openings. Did Bob Kraft go around and torpedo this dude to all of them too? Doubt it. Anybody else could have hired Hood. Nobody needed Kraft's permission to hire Hood. And nobody else came close. Even Kraft himself, or I should say Blank himself, could have said, hey, you know what, Bob? You're my dude. We're boys. We're billionaires. I know that whole thing went to crap there in New England, but you know what, man? The guy's the GOAT. I believe in this dude. All this dude needs is a fresh start. This dude needs to get out of New England where it's toxic, and I'm going to give it to him. But notice he didn't do that. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offer friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you find just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced? A brake light fix or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts are extremely knowledgeable, helpful, and best of all, they are friendly. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto, do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Rome. Once again, O'ReillyAuto.com/Rome. Yeah, I know. Also, one more thing. I know. Hood Myopians, Kraft owed him. Kraft owed him more than that. Did he owe him? Owed him what? He gave the dude complete control of the joint for a quarter of a century. He made him the highest paid coach in the NFL by a mile. He essentially let this dude do whatever the hell he wanted, including run Tom Brady off. He let him do whatever the hell he wanted as long as he won. And he did. Until it all went to hell, and then he ran that franchise into the ground. And of course it got personal. Of course Kraft had issues with the hood. Of course when one of his buddies asked him how it was in the end, he told him.
Buddy!
What? Now, is telling the truth? Does that make you disloyal? Does that make you a bad dude? Again, I have no dog in this fight. I don't give a damn about either one of these guys. No offense, half fam. I'm just saying, as bad as it looks for Kraft, and I agree, it looks bad for Kraft, he's not the reason that the hood is not coaching right now. Hood is the reason the hood is not coaching right now. You know why? His model is out. The dictator is dead. Young, dynamic, communicative is in. And the hood's none of those things. And that's not on Bob Kraft. So if you want to take a side, then you should go right ahead. 1-800-636-8686. I've never, ever, ever up until now seen the hood as a empathetic, sympathetic figure. Oh, one more thing. And by the way, I still don't. But a lot of you do. One more thing. One of the biggest hood revelations of the past 24 hours is that dude apparently has never had a cup of coffee. Hood told Pat McAfee that he's never had a cup of coffee in his life. I mean, I'm going to call bullcrap on that. I mean, come on with that. Never had a cup of coffee in his life. That's impossible to believe.
What?
But if it is, and that is true, doesn't that make things a lot more clear or a lot more sense? No wonder this dude's such an a-hole. No wonder why this dude is so grumpy and ornery, and crusty, and curmudgeonly, like all the time. He sounds like he just crawled out of bed all the time, probably because he's perpetually stuck trying to wake up. Maybe he wouldn't sound like that. Maybe he wouldn't sound like he had first thing in the morning voice all the time if he had just had a cup of coffee. What kind of a psycho puts in those kind of hours with that kind of workload and never, ever has coffee? This dude was the head coach and the GM and did all of that without coffee? No wonder this dude was impossible to deal with. Again, I'm not saying that Kraft is without blame. I'm not saying that this isn't a bad look for Kraft. I mean, where would Kraft be without Brady in the hood? I get it. I'm not saying that the optics aren't bad. I'm not saying that Kraft is the reason they won all those rings. He's not. Far from it. I'm just saying, how the hell could this guy have not had a cup of coffee in his whole life? I mean, come on, man. Dude. Like, okay. Coffee, the taste of coffee isn't for everybody. I liken it to the taste of beer. Like, nobody likes beer the first time they have it, and nobody likes coffee the first time they have it. But the more you drink of each, the more you like of both. But then again, even if, and I take my coffee black, I've always had black coffee. I drink nitro, black. I love coffee. But I get, the taste is not for everybody. But have you ever had, I don't know, an iced coffee dumped with a bunch of vanilla creamer? I mean, seriously, a frappuccino? Never had a frap? Hood? Hell, the kids drink that crap on the way to school. The kids drink that crap on the way to school. It's like Haagen-Dazs ice cream. Coffee ice cream. You ever had that? Full transparency. Right now, we are in the process of hiring some new people as we get ready for our big launch on X. Here are some of the things that we're looking for. And I'm very upfront about this. Gotta know sports. That's important. I'm not saying this is everything, but education's important. Obviously, it's not everything, because I don't know that James Kelly even got beyond the third grade. Professionalism.
Winthrop.
Very important. Energy. Very important. Positivity. Very important. Enthusiasm. Very important. No drama. Don't want drama around here. Work ethic. Very important. But if we're being real and totally transparent, and maybe this might get me in trouble with the parent company, if you don't drink coffee, you ain't getting through the front door.
Put that coffee.
Who cares about your references? Who cares about your resume? If you don't drink coffee, I do not believe that you grind. You know, sometimes you hear, hey man, I can't be friends with people who don't drink. I can. Not an issue for me at all. Not an issue for me at all. Some of my best friends don't drink. Some people I know who are the life of every single party don't drink. So that's not an issue for me. But I cannot and will not be friends with people who don't smash coffee. Well, check that. I can't work with people who don't smash coffee. See, like, as an example, that was a problem with our dude, Rit. Remember Rit? We all love Rit. But Rit was like a 50-year-old dude. That guy. Love Rit. What up, Rit? Rit was a 50-year-old dude who drank hot chocolate every day. Like, who over the age of 9 drinks hot chocolate? Rit. And Rit was like pushing 50. So Rit drinks hot chocolate every day, not coffee. And I think the reason he did it, other than he was a sugar addict and chasing the beaties hard,
diabetes,
was that he needed something to wash all the Sour Patch Kids down that he was smashing on the regular from the time he got to work. If Ike just drank coffee, he'd probably still be here right now. What up, Ike? Big shout-outs, yo, from the jungle. So I've got a quick question for you. Are you looking for ultimate comfort and pain relief? Let's compare G-Defy shoes to other shoe brands that promise comfort and support and pain relief. Typical shoe brands rely on EVA soles for cushioning, but G-Defy offers so much more. G-Defy goes above and beyond with VersoShock technology, providing superior shock absorption and energy return if you suffer from foot, knee, or back pain. G-Defy's advanced technology may help provide you with the relief you deserve. I can't even believe these shoes and the difference they make for me. G-Defy shoes also offer two free supportive orthotics to help improve your body's biomechanics, resulting in proper body alignment and ultimate comfort. Yes, they do all that. So whether you're an athlete, a busy parent, or just somebody who's always on the go, G-Defy shoes offers the versatility and the comfort that your feet crave and need. Say goodbye to discomfort. G-Defy is more than EVA soles. It could be your path to unparalleled comfort and pain relief. Visit G-Defy.com today. Experience ultimate comfort and pain relief at GDefy.com. GDefy.com. Use the code Jim30 for $30 off orders of $150 or more. That's code Jim30 for $30 off orders of $150 or more. GDefy shoes. They are incredible. Of course, I am talking about Max Holloway. Max, it is awesome to talk to you, my dude. How you feeling?
I'm good, Jim. How you doing, brother?
I'm great, Max. It is great to have you on the show. I mean that. Really good to hear your voice. Hey, let me just say this. In my opinion, normally I just ask questions, but I'm going to start you off with an opinion. In my opinion, that KO of Justin Gaethje to win the BMF belt Saturday was the greatest knockout in UFC history. Having said that, you've been a part of some amazing moments in the cage in your career. So where would you rank that, and what did it feel like to end that fight on that night in UFC 300?
Oh, man, you know, personally for me, I know I understand why a lot of people think it's huge, but for me, that would be number two. My number one would be fighting the King of Rio, Jose Aldo, in Rio. I was the interim champ at the time. He was the undisputed champ. We went to Rio. I fought the King of Rio. I got a finish. So that's always going to be up there. You know, Jose Aldo was like my idol growing up. So being able to fight him in Rio, the King of Rio there, doing what I did was amazing. But this is second, man. You know, it was just the moment, the UFC 300, it being on UFC 300. I don't know if you heard the storylines coming to the fight against Gaethje.
Oh, yeah, I did. Hey, maybe, yeah, in fact, Max, let me jump in. I know all the storylines, but why don't you share them for those who don't know?
I was just outgunned. Too small. People were saying this is my funeral. I'm probably gonna retire after this fight. I was gonna get. It was not looking good for me. There was this. I was getting called out, man. I have no idea why. Actually, I do. You know, I tell people all the time. People that's new to this sport. You know, it's like I like to say it like this. You know, if LeBron James, you know, he goes out there. He misses a bunch of shots. He just have the off night. Guess what? You know, he gets to go out two nights later. You know, in this sport, you're only as good as your last fight. And your last fight might be like 3-4 months. Some guys get hurt 8 months. Some guys get a year, you know. So if you have a shitty fight and you can't go back next weekend and show out again, it's just not going to work, you know. So MMA is one of the hardest sports in that sense, but it is what it was, you know. At the end of the day, I went out there. I got my hand raised. I did what I knew I could do, what me and my team trained for, and I was just happy I was on the winning side.
It really was incredible. Max Holloway joining us. Yeah, I understand that, Max. I love the game. I love the sport, and I knew those storylines. The storylines being, like you pointed out, he's outgunned. He's too small. He's not what he once was. This is going to be his funeral, and this is not what happened. And we'll talk about how you ended that fight, but let me ask you, based on all that, you made your UFC debut 12 years ago. You've been fighting at such a high level for such a long time. You dominated as a featherweight. You once ripped off 13 straight wins at that division. Having said that, and having said what you just did, is it possible that not only was that not your funeral, but you might be doing your best work at age 32 and your best years might actually be in front of you? Is that how you see it?
Oh, for sure. You know, I everybody talk about prime ages and a lot of people think just because I've been with the UFC, I've been around for 12 years, a lot of guys think I'm like 40 or 45, you know. Like, when I got into the UFC, I was only 20. And I got to keep reminding these guys, you know. It's just, it is what it is, you know. I'm one of those guys in my mind that just thought, like, I want to stay here as long as I can, as long as I'm fighting at a high level. And I feel like we're just entering, you know. I don't know if you know my backstory and stuff. There's a lot of jokes going around that I've been calling Pillow Hands Holloway, so... You know, last two fights is telling a different story, so I'm pretty excited. You know, I'm getting this man strength that a lot of people are talking about, and I can really feel it.
You bet. Max Holloway joining us. And to that point, Max, like, let me just say this. I want to preface this next question with a quick story. I once interviewed, and by the way, you've said a couple of times, I don't know if you know, I do know all about you, Max. I know your backstory. I know your career. Nothing but respect for you and what you've accomplished in this game and what you still will. I once interviewed Max, the famous daredevil, Evel Knievel, on this show, and I asked him the question, if you knew, Evel, that you had a 50-50 chance of dying when you jumped the Snake River, why would you do it? And his response to me, Max, and I quote, was, "You know who the hell I am?" I said, "Yes, sir."
That's
great?
That's awesome.
Dude, isn't that
that's
great?
That's freaking awesome. So, that's awesome. I mean, that's I think, Jim, personally, that's how a lot of people need to live. Too much people are living in their comfort zone, you know. I was talking about it. I got interviewed before the fight, and I said, like, when I was saying, like, the BMF, like, I said this quote saying about the gladiator, like, you know, if I was born in a different age, I'd be a gladiator. And last time I checked, gladiators didn't walk around with scales asking what kind of kilograms are you or what kilograms are you? You know, it's like, oh, you're too heavy. No, they fought. They fought in the Coliseum. They didn't weigh in. They fought. And a lot of people was giving me some heat for that. And at the end of the day, I just told them, like, look, don't push your insecurities on me. Just because you have a limit on yourself, don't limit me. Like, we're different. We're not the same, you know. I'm reaching for new universes and stuff. You guys are only reaching for the sky, you know. So that's what I tell people. I tell people all the time, if you want to be great, go be great, you know. And if you have a dream, go and chase it. So the person who's telling you not to do your dream, somebody told them that they can't do it and they believed it. So they're trying to make you miserable.
Preach, Max. Don't push your insecurities on me. I love that. Listen, so to finish that thought, and you just said, if I was born at another time, I would be a gladiator in the Coliseum. I would argue you are a gladiator, and the Coliseum is the cage, but this brings me to the end of the fight, right? So this is what I mean. Like, you know who the hell I am? I know who the hell you are, so I'm not surprised by the way you ended that fight. However, you had already won that fight, dude. And by winning that fight, that creates options, yet you pointed to the ground, you motion Justin Gaethje, who's as dangerous a guy as there's ever been in the cage, to come throw down with you with 10 seconds left. It could have ended badly. You kind of answered it already, but what was going through your mind? Why did you do that? That was a dangerous move.
We were fighting for the BMF belt, brother. We were fighting for the BMF title. That's what it is. If you're true BMF, that's what it is, you know. I was just telling everyone, like, if the roles were flipped, Gaethje was outgunning me for rounds, and he knew he was up, he would give me the opportunity, because that's just what BMF do, bro. I'm a fighter, man. I'm a fighter. This is what I believe. I was put on this earth. I was born to be a fighter, and that's just the only thing. Like, everybody's like, were you planning it? I mean, it's always my plan towards the ending of the fight. It's like, if you got 10 seconds and I'm doing it, why not slug it out? You know, it's only the right way. And then it being UFC 300, how big the event is, you know, there's not going to be another big event like this to UFC 400, you know, so that's in a couple, that's like 5-10 years maybe. So at the end of the day, it just felt right, you know. It felt right, and this is what we do with fighters. We put on shows. We're showmen, you know. We gotta put on shows. So I was glad I get to be, you know, etch my name in the history books with Justin Gaethje.
It's who you are, dude. It's what you do. All right. So coming off one of that magnitude, Max, you obviously have options. Ideally, who would you like to fight next?
We see what happens. We see what happens. You know, like you said, it's options. You know, especially in this sport, it's always great to have options. I'm ranked at a higher weight class now. You know, I got my weight class at 45. Still right there, knocking on the door. You know, Connor's coming back. Ilya's there. Islam's there. Dustin's fighting Islam. So, man, it should be fun, man. It should be fun. You know, like I've been saying, that 45 title is what I want. I want it back. But whatever way UFC wants to push me, they're going to push me, you know. So I'm waiting. I'm all ears. You know, like I said, Justin Gaethje, he kicked the man. I don't know what his legs is made out of. I don't know how come he has so much power, but he kicked like a horse. And, you know, right now the main thing on my mind is just recovering, getting better. And then when they call, we'll be ready to answer.
Max, how did you come out of that fight physically?
I came out good. I came out good. Like, my face ain't as beaten up as it usually be after a fight. But my legs, this is probably the most sore I ever felt with legs, man. A lot of people said Justin hit hard. I wanted to see what it was about, and I found out. You know, I found out with my legs. So it's all right. I'm healing. I'm good. I'm fine, but it's just a little bruised.
Talking to Max Holloway for a couple of more moments. What about going down? Would you, obviously, Ilya, how do you feel about going down and fighting Ilya? That's got to interest you. Does that interest you more than the other things?
That was always my main goal. That was always my main goal. My main goal was always fighting Ilya. This fight was a fun fight. You know, shout out to Justin Gaethje, man. Justin Gaethje is a legend, the highlight. He had everything to lose. He gave me the shot. You know, and this happened, you know. But my mind was always, no matter what, win, lose, whatever it is, this, even to today, I want to fight Ilya. You know, people always ask me, what is your thoughts on Ilya? And the only thing that comes to my mind is, you know, it's questionable. You know, the dude is super questionable. Every other 145 contender that they wanted to fight Volk, they went through me. They fought me or they had to fight me, and that's one guy that they eluded me. I don't know how. I don't know why, but he did, and he got the title shot. So, you know, and he beat a guy that I couldn't figure out. You know, I fought a guy. He fought the guy once. I fought the guy three times. I saw him say that slick stuff. Took him, what was it? Took him 9 minutes for what took me 90 minutes I couldn't do or something crazy like that. That's funny because last time I checked, when I was your age, I already had title defense, buddy. So it looks like you still got catching up to do.
That's slick stuff. I like it. Hey, Max, one more thing about Ilya. He said, yeah, maybe I'll do it, but I'm not going to fight Max unless he puts his BMFL belt on the line as well.
Yeah.
What do you do with that belt? How do you feel about that?
Oh, we see what happens. I mean, that's not very BMF of way to say it. You know, a BMF wouldn't be like, I'm not going to fight this guy unless this is – that's kind of un-BMF. You know, let me ask you.
That's that you. That's BMF, you, BMF. You, BMF. Un-BMF.
Yeah. Does it sound BMF of the way he's trying to demand it and saying, I'm not going to fight? A BMF fights whatever. Fights whoever, whenever, any weight, any time. And that's not a tone of a BMF, brother. So, I don't know. We see what happens. Whatever UFC wants to do, they want to do. I just want to be in the octagon with him. I want to see what the hype is about.
I want to see that too. He is a combat sports legend. He is the former UFC featherweight champion. He won that BMF belt in BMF fashion. He is Max Holloway. My man, I'm so glad we finally came together, Max. That was so great. Appreciate you. Much respect, dude. And thanks so much for doing that. That was a blast.
No, thank you, Jim. Thank you for having me. You're the man, brother. You're the man. You have no idea. You have a great one.
Hey, listen, I've got to tell you guys about this. So the other day, I come across a product that all of us should be carrying around, a product that I now carry around. It's something different for fresh breath. It's this amazing product called Zelman's Minty Mouth. And guys, it is an absolute game changer. If you're up in the grill of somebody else making your case for whatever it is, make sure your breath is fresh. If it's not, they won't hear what you're selling or saying anyway. Zelman's cleans your breath in a way that other mints don't and can't, because it's not just a mint. It's a functional breath freshener capsule that you swallow. Clinically tested against the toughest offenders like garlic and onions even. You just pop two or three in your mouth, you suck the minty coating, then swallow the capsule for the confidence of fresh, clean breath that lasts for hours. This product is like nothing else you've ever tried. It fights bad breath in your mouth, and then it goes down to your gut. This is the ultimate hack to get rid of coffee, garlic, or smoker's breath. It's that strong. You're going to love having the confidence of long-lasting fresh breath or your money back. That's right, or your money back guaranteed. These folks will give you your money back. Not that you'll want it, but they will. They have free shipping if you order three packs or more. And trust me, you're going to want more. And nobody likes to pay for shipping, right? So go to Zelmans.com right now. That's Zelmins.com right now. Do it now and you'll get 15% off when you use my promo code Rome. That's Zelmins.com. But you have to use the code Rome, R-O-M-E, to get your 15% savings. Do it. Do it right now. Tony in Phoenix. Tony, what's up?
Slice, what's good, homie?
What's up, dude?
Another day, another dollar. I'm back up in here at my bid at the Infinity Trinity. I put a little something together. I've had a little time, like you said, the other day to sleep on it. I wrote a little dilly. It's a poem. I call it A Fool's Ride. I've been roaming around the most hostile of grounds. Smack you. Clones, registration is open, so it's time to be clutch. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the rush. It's my freshman year, and I'm finally here. Yo, Adam Silver, won't you lend me them ears? Grab a pair of clones, because I want you to hear. Having been glossed with tiger, as you tremble with fear. It's time to impress, much like silk bras, nice breast. As I walk through these halls of love, hate, and horror, don't compare me to Matt or some crime buffoon. I'll pull the strings, puppet, so you can eat from my spoon. Just shut up and listen. You just might learn something. Some real clones are talking, so stop keyboard jockeying. Yo, Silk, you're a champ. Where the big dogs at? Brah points to the sky and says, at the top of this mountain sits the house that Van Smack built, home to the cats that rock that gold strap. From Corona Laguna and the Hollywood Hills, you start smack up that tree, you're going to get killed. Here's some advice. Don't let the clones win. I'll hit up the homies. They might jump you in. Brah, I'll keep beating this drum until I get run.
Right on cue, yo.
You don't like that cop.
I don't like that cop.
Brah, I'll keep beating this drum until I get run. Bam. Clones, what do we want when we're craving protein or we need more energy? Not bars, not sugary snacks, not energy drinks. No, we want beef. Pure and simple. So where's the beef? It's in a package of Old Trapper beef jerky. Old Trapper is not your father's jerky. Shriveled, dry, and tasteless. Old Trapper beef jerky is made from lean strips of steak and quality spices that are smoked over a real wood fire. So it's tender and it's tasty. It's not tough. And why is it so good? Because Old Trapper is a 50-year-old family business known for their relentless commitment to quality. They take smoked beef extremely seriously, and you can taste it in every single bite. Old Trapper is packed with protein, and it comes in four amazing flavors that satisfy all your cravings. Quality smoked meat at its finest that goes with you wherever you go, to the game, to the gym, to the beach. Look for Old Trapper in the Clearview bag. That way you can see the quality you're buying. Look for it in major retail stores near you. If you don't see it, ask for it by name, because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what's your beef? We are joined right now by Paulo Banchero. Paulo, it's great to have you back. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, dude. Good. So let me ask you, after establishing yourselves as one of the most improved teams in the regular season, what is the vibe and energy like around your team as you get ready for the franchise's first playoff appearance since the 2019-20 season?
Yeah, I think everybody's really excited right now. Guys just been locked in, doing whatever they need to do to, you know, have their bodies feeling right heading into Saturday. And, yeah, I think, you know, we're just excited to get this opportunity as a team. This is what we worked for all season. So everybody's looking forward to it.
All right, so team first, and I'll probably mention that again before the end of the conversation, team first. But I want to ask you, people who know hoops know that Orlando is a really good basketball town and that it's the only pro team in the city. The fan base is really hungry. They want it very badly. I'm curious, how much love have you felt personally and professionally since you came to town as the top pick overall?
Yeah, I would say the love's been there from day one. You know, when I got drafted, you know, I hadn't visited here. I had never been. So just coming in, not knowing what to expect, you know, definitely felt the love from the first time I stepped off the plane, you know, till now. Just, you know, even my first year was a lot of love. And then, you know, really took it to another level this year, I think, just with the attendance of the fans game in and game out. You know, they really stepped it up this year. So you just got to give a lot of credit to them and their energy. You know, they've been a big part of our success.
Paulo Banchero joining us. I would say also you took it to another level yourself individually. Again, team first, but individually, you had a really special season statistically. You became the first player in NBA history, younger than 22, to lead his team in scoring, rebounding, and assists. When you consider all the young stars that have played in this league, what does that accomplishment represent to you?
Yeah, I think it just represents the work I've put in my whole life. I think it also represents just my mentality, or just how I play the game, trying to affect the game in every aspect, you know, be a great teammate, set guys up, make the right play, and, you know, it just translates to winning. So I didn't know that stat till I think I saw it a couple of days ago, but when I saw it, I think it did surprise me a little bit. You know, I didn't know that. So, yeah, it's pretty cool, though. Like you said, it's a lot of young stars that came through the NBA. So to be the only one or the youngest one to do something like that is pretty cool.
It's really cool. You know, I'm glad that you put it like that, that it represents the work you put in and your mentality. I was going to ask you about that because, you know, the old saying, pressure is a privilege. If that's the case, my dude, you are an extremely privileged individual. And what I mean by that is you've been dealing with the pressure since you were a highly touted prospect at O'Day High School in Seattle before you became a high-profile player at Duke, and then you went number one overall. So it's a lot, right? That's a lot. I'm curious, what's it been like to have all eyes on you and so much on your shoulders? It's pretty much always been like that. So does that feel like a privilege or does that feel like pressure?
It definitely feels like a privilege, 100%. You know, I think just that's been the goal since I was a kid, was to be at the top, be the number one player, be the number one pick, and that's just always what I've worked towards. So I think just the pressure, I guess, comes with that, but it's nothing to be scared of. I think it's nothing to run from. I think, like you said, it's a privilege. So just looking at it through that lens, you know, makes it a lot easier. And at the end of the day, it's still, you know, still basketball, still the game that I fell in love with a long time ago. So every time I go out there, I'm just excited to get to play basketball.
And now in the postseason too, Paolo Banchero joining us. I spoke to your teammate Jalen Suggs last month, and I couldn't be more impressed with him both on and off the floor. He was raving about you, listing the ways that you've made him a better player. So let me turn that around and ask you about him. What do you appreciate most about being able to play with Jalen?
Yeah, I definitely would say just his mentality. Every practice, every game, he gives 100%, you know, on both sides of the floor. So I think just seeing that, you know, it makes it so, you know, as a player like me, you know, I can't, you know, let him just do all the hard work and all the, you know, energy. I got to be able to match that and, you know, just bring it from my end as well, because, you know, that's the only way for us to, you know, elevate, you know, the other guys around us, is to have that energy, have that attitude and that mentality, you know, in the games and in practice, working out every day. It just rubs off on everyone else. So I give him a lot of credit for, you know, just putting that energy throughout the team and, you know, giving the effort that he does.
Speaking of energy, right, it's a players' league, but I spoke to your coach also, Jamal Mosley, early in the season. Now, this was early in the season before you guys had that great regular season. He was really high on the group's prospects, all because of what you're talking about, the young energy and the way he thought the group would gel and pick each other up, and he was right. So I'm curious, what's Jamal like to play for, and then how much credit does he deserve for the team having this great opportunity that it has right now in the first round?
Yeah, I think he just does a great job of getting everybody to buy in. You know, I would call him a player's coach, where, you know, he relates to the players and, you know, is a lot, gives a lot of perspective, you know, because he's been in the league a long time just and seen a lot of players and cities and all that. So he has a very good perspective for some of the younger guys and just his energy as well. You know, his energy day in and day out is high level, just the intensity he brings and demands of us, you know, we don't want to let him down. So we try to match that intensity that he asks. And I say, you know, definitely a lot of credit should be, you know, given to him. I think just where our defense is as a team, I know we're one of the top defenses in the league, and I just give credit to him on that. You know, that's been the message since training camp and, you know, even starting last year, which is defense is going to be our identity. So definitely give credit to him.
So, dude, you're locked in. I can hear it. I can see it. I can feel it. Let me finally ask you, you look at the Cavaliers. Obviously, this time of season, we know it's all about matchups. After splitting the season series with them, are you looking for the way to best deal with the challenges they present? Or is your mindset, man, they got to deal with us?
I mean, I think you have to respect them. You know, they are a playoff team, been a playoff team for a couple years now. So, you can't go in there, you know, just thinking you're going to roll over them. I would say that we're the least experienced team, lesser experienced team, so they probably think that that's their advantage against us, and so we're going to have to be ready for whatever they throw at us. But at the same time, we feel like we have some advantages over them that we can use and exploit. So we know it's going to be a tough series. We always have tough games against them just throughout the Eastern Conference regular season, so we know what to expect. I think they know what to expect. It's going to be physical. It's going to be a hard-fought series. But, you know, I think it's just going to come down to, you know, who can stay together as a team and who can, you know, make the right adjustments at the right times. But I'm excited.
I love that series. I love that matchup. He was the number one overall pick in 2022. He was a rookie of the year last year. He made the All-Star team this year. And as I mentioned, what a great, great stat. Youngest player ever to leave his team in points, rebounds, and assists. Paolo Banchero, my guest. Paul, I appreciate you, especially right before the first round of the postseason. Great to have you back on the show. Thanks so much.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Guy's a stud. Such a good player. And like I said, all eyes on him from day one. He's him. He's him. He's a stud. I'm going to give you another stud. I'd even go as far as to say this guy's him too. Orlando Magic PR icon George Galanti. That dude's incredible. He is so good at his job. You know what I respect? I respect people that take their craft seriously. I respect people that work really hard at their jobs. I respect people that are about the job and not about themselves. It's my man, George. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offer friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you find just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced? A brake light fix or a quick service, they'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts are extremely knowledgeable, helpful, and best of all, they are friendly. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto, do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Rome. Once again, O'ReillyAuto.com/Rome. All right, so I've got plenty of runway for you. Call with your beefs. Write your beefs in. Thumb them out. Hit me up on the X platform. Email them to me. X platform@JimRome. Email Rome, R-O-M-E, at HaveATake.com. In fact, you know what? Written beefers. I'm going to throw you a bone. I'm going to go old school. I used to always start with you, but then the callers got so good. And then you got all butthurt because we'd go an entire 25, 28, 30 minutes without reading one. I will start with you today. Jim, my beef are with the bags who torture, walk their poor dogs while dragging them, riding their bikes. Knock it off, jerks. Get off your ass. Put the phone down and walk your dogs like a kind dog owner. Mike in Petaluma. Vance Mack, my beef is with all the losers out here reproducing like Mogwai and bragging about their tax refunds. Makes no sense that Alvin and his brethren get an additional refund because they can't wrap it up. I should get a discount for not increasing my carbon footprint by having one of those mongrels. Tony in DTLA. Romy, my beef is with the packs of women who do their daily walks. You'll see them walking down the middle of the street, sometimes five across, like the shootout at the OK Corral. If you come up behind them and honk, they get all pissy and they shoot you the hairy eyeball. I'd rather not run you over, so do you mind actually walking on the sidewalk? How hard is that? Rick and Chico. All right, so far so good. At Adam Taylor 0425. My beef is with my family.
Family!
I'm usually the last one home, and every time the trash can is still at the end of the driveway, that means three other people looked and said, nah, I'm good. Do better, you lazy kooks. I can relate to that. I hate that. My kids also would look at the trash cans. Like, I'm like, Logs, you think that thing's going to walk itself in? Did you look right at it? Did you walk right by it? Van Smack, my beef is with my parents. You know the only thing worse than walking in on both of your parents wrestling? Holy crap, Vaughn, you did not. I'm going to back this up and read it again because I read ahead. Van Smack, my beef is with my parents. You know the only thing worse than walking in on both of your parents wrestling? Walking in on one. Warrior next horse being named Track Savage. Damn, Vaughn. That is incredible. Didn't I say that if there were a smack-off for written participation, Vaughn would be in it? That is insane. At 115 USA, my beef is with the asshat that didn't know how to work the QB blue alarm clock in my hotel room. Who in the hell uses an alarm clock anymore? A-wipe, set the alarm for 5:30 a.m. Then I had to figure out how to shut the damn thing off. Use your phone, losers. Written beef's off to a great start. Romy, my beef is with this D-bag at work that always says, that's why we can't have anything nice around here. When someone drops something, listen, tool bag, it was never funny. No one likes you, and you're a hammer bag. Just shut up and retire already. Brian in Erie. Hey, Tan Man, my beef is with fishing. What an absolute bore. I mean, it's cool hanging out on the boat and talking, but there's only so much you can talk about. Also, how the hell is fishing a professional sport? Sitting around waiting for a dumbass fish to get hooked on your bait isn't a sport. Darts, pool, and curling are looking down on you fishing. Mario in Frisco. Jim, my beef. Are people who can't wait to tell me about the dream they had the night before? Newsflash, it wasn't real unless your dream involves me getting nice or sandwich making. I couldn't give a rat's ass. Ed, an SA. Ed Rich Kane's back. My beef is with you and everybody else failing to give you enough credit lately. The two conversations today were amazing, along with the Rousey pod. It's rare this far into a career that a sports interviewer gets better, and I'm grateful that you're still on the radio. At Rich Kane. Hey, Kane, stop sucking up to me. It does not change my initial take about you. Take being, I'm not surprised that you're not a business owner, Kane. Nice try, Kane. I see you working, Kane. Come on, Kane. Jim, but you're right about one thing. I have not been giving myself enough credit lately. Because I know you won't. So if I don't, who will? Jim, my beef... All right, now we're getting somewhere. My beef is with that fat bitch.
Fat?
Rick in Buffalo. Why haven't you called yet with everything that's happened to the Bills since losing at home to their daddy? Signed, Dom in Erie. Dom, he did call. He called last Monday. He's actually called multiple times. He's not hiding. Rick is not hard to find. Rick's not hiding, Dom. Just because you haven't heard the call doesn't mean he hasn't made the call. Rick's out. Rick's here. Dear Jim, my beef is with the lady in front of me at the bag your own grocery checkout, who decides to take this opportunity to try to beat her high score in grocery bag Tetris. There are only two rules that apply here: bananas and bread on top. Everything else is a free-for-all. Get the Ritz and romaine lettuce in the bag and move along. Stephen, Ottawa. I'm telling you, the written beefers are getting it today. This one says, I got a beef with bros who bring their side piece to the golf course. She's prancing around in her underwear while I'm trying to putt. Take the sex doll to the park. Thank you. Levi in Portland. Come on, Levi. I mean, Levi, it's funny, but you're making stuff up. Kenneth E. in the 503. Jim, my beef is with my downstairs neighbors. They like to bang on the ceiling when I'm banging on the floor. Warn me being done when she says I am? Damn, this is getting a little too spicy. One-handed wrestling. Warn me being done when she says I am. Hey, Rome, my beef is with people who think that their dogs are their children. They are not your children. When you leave the house, you do not put your children in a cage and leave them for hours on end until you return. You do not take your children outside to use the bathroom. You do not take your children for a walk with a leash around their neck. Stop embarrassing yourselves. Signed, Even Flow Plumbing. All right, then. Nice job. Let's go to the phones. Hey, callers. Can you keep up with the written beefers? We haven't done that in a long time. 10 strong mittens or minutes of fire written beefs. Let's go to the phones. Ty in Boise, you are first up. Ty, what's your beef?
Hey, Rome. My beef is when you get on an elevator and it smells like what I imagine is a mixture of Portland woman, ass, and Jeff in Richmond. And then the next floor down, a dime piece gets on and gives you the nastiest look like you're the responsible party.
Well done, Ty. That is a legitimate beef. Like, Ty, no. That's great. A dime gets on a floor later and looks at you like you're the responsible party. I don't know. Maybe that's just me. I thought that was funny. 1-800-636-8686. Let's go to Tustin Ranch. He's not that far from here. Dave, my brother. Dave, what's going on with your beef?
Romy, what's going on, buddy?
What's
all right,
up?
So this is it. Hey, listen, Shaky T. Dude, Edgar Allan Schmo is more like it, bro. Listen, just stop. That was so cringy. So look, Jim, beautiful whips in SoCal. We all know that. It sparked a little inferiority complex. Listen, drivers of Hondas and Hyundais on the 405, stop with the oversized whale tail. Dude, or probably the G-suit that comes with it, stop. We all know at the end of the day you're going to end up at an In-N-Out, spreading your dinner over that thing, sitting on top of the trunk of your car. Lastly, Irvine Company. Hey, what's cracking, Kremlin? Lastly, I cannot believe this. Retroactively, you suck for taking away the single greatest outdoor music venue known to mankind. Stop doing that, you tools. Eggplant out.
Wow. What's cracking, Kremlin? Quote, the Irvine Company, the little Kremlin by the sea, according to Dave and Tustin Ranch. Yeah, I know, dude. I've been here for decades. I've bought multiple properties and been on multiple pieces of land owned by the Irvine Company. In fact, if you live anywhere within a 100-mile radius, the Irvine Company probably owns it. The little Kremlin by the sea, according to Dave. Hey, Avi, you gave him some leash. Avi wanted to hear the Irvine Company crackback. 1-800-636-8686. Again, my favorite thing about the beef segment, all 50 participate. Let's go to Green Bay. Brian in Green Bay. Good to have you, Brian. What's your beef?
Hey, Romy, my beef is with dudes at the gym who dry off their undercarriage by putting their leg up on a stool and using the wall-mounted hairdryer.
Yeah, dude, that's kind of nasty. Kind of disgusting.
I don't like that.
I'm going to say, though, that you got run because that's a bathroom smack. I'll tell you what, we've had a lot of takes on Gym Guy and a lot of beefs about Gym Guy, but never that exact beef about Gym Guy. Which is why I generally try to get my workouts in at home. See, if you're a gym guy and you're at home, are you really a gym guy? 1-800-636-8686. Let's go to Boise. Lot of beef in Boise today. We had Ty. Let's go to Duke. Duke, what's your beef?
My beef, Jim, is with the medical industry and just science in general. How have they not come up with a vaccine for pollen yet? The best they've been able to come up with is Claritin D or Zyrtec or something. We're dying out here. As you would say, be better. Do better, science.
I feel you, dude. I've gotten that same thing from my doctor. Like, doc, I got this issue, this thing. He hits me with a Z-bomb, too. And I got a great doctor. You're right. There are some very basic things that they cannot find a cure for. That being one of them. But then again, dude, it is springtime. It is springtime. Let's go to Louisville. Dave in Louisville. Hey, Dave, what's up? What's your beef?
Thanks for the line, Jim. My beef is with the marriage counselor that doesn't wear a ring and is not married. I'm not coming back. You've given me the answer already, buddy. War, eat it, hood.
My man, the marriage counselor that doesn't wear a ring, that hasn't been married. You're counseling us on marriage, but you've never been married. That's curious. Eat it, hood. That's a throwback right there. Boise's incredible. You know, when you think about it per capita, the fact that we've got three beefs from Boise today is amazing. Damon in Boise. Damon, what's your beef?
Jim Rome, my beef is with this naval battle cruiser ship thick gauge plastic welded packaging. It shouldn't take a two-stroke powered concrete saw and a wrecking bar to get to my razors and my wife's needs. Thanks, bud.
Dude, appreciate the soundbite at the end. He's got a point, man. The razors are hard to open up. I've damn near lost digits trying to get to my blades. Strange delivery, very good point. But you know why they do that, right? They don't want you stealing them. That's why when you go into the drugstore and you try to buy razors, they're behind that lockbox. And you got to ring that doorbell. And then you got to wait and wait and wait for one of the freaks at CVS, wherever you go, to come and actually unlock that lockbox. And that never works either. And then when you get it home, then you have to try to get the razors out of that plastic container, where you can get maimed just trying to open it. Man, look, I understand how expensive razors are, expensive as hell, but they are going to great lengths to make sure that you don't rip them off, aren't they? I agree with you, dude. Let's go to Florida, Bergie. This is actually a great beef segment. I don't want to jinx it, but this is fun. Bergie in Florida. Bergie, what's your beef?
Romy, my beef is with people who talk about weather. I mean, you talk about boring. Like, hey, Al Roker, this was settled thousands of years ago. It's hot in the summer, it's cold in the winter, and everything in between we can kind of figure out. And I want to warn you, Jim, turning on a dime on breaking news to come out with the best commentary, best takes ever. You're the man.
My man, Berg, you know, you're the man. Hey, Al Roker. I like the way the guy just went, hey, Al Roker, it's hot in the summer, it's cold in the winter. It's temperate in the spring. Stop talking about the weather. Except the problem is you're talking about us, brother. We are so guilty of that out here in Southern California. We're the worst. We're the worst. If it rains one day, it's like, man, is it ever going to stop raining? Yes, but we need the water. No, we don't. We'll just keep stealing it from NoCal. Hey, Frisco fan, keep the water coming. 1-800-636-8686, Erie. Paul in Erie. Paul, what's your beef?
I got a beef with CBS at the Masters. You're showing Tiger Woods. He's 18 shots down. Now, come on. I want to see golfers that are in the present and future golfers. As far as I'm concerned, he can join the back nine with OJ. Thanks.
Well, not really. OJ's dead. OJ isn't playing the back nine. Oge is not playing the front nine. Oge is not playing at the local Muni. Oge is not looking for the real killers. Oge is dead. Ding dong, Oge is dead. The thing is, dude, I feel you. What's it say about golf that one of the most intriguing, compelling things about the sport is a 48-year-old dude that is held together in duct tape and barely makes the cut and comes in DFL of those who did make the cut. Dead freaking last. But the problem is, though, dude, that is what people want to see. Even if the dude is extremely delusional. Like, my man, I know that you think that if, quote, everything comes together, you can still win a major. And I know that you won the Masters of 2019 when nobody thought you could. Amazing story, Tig. Dude, if you play the rest of the majors and finish the rest of the majors, you should count that as a major. 1-800, whoa, Sorry, that interrupted my pattern of thought, looking at my screen. Not for this, but for another one. Let's go to Tucson, John. Hey, John, what's up? What's your beef?
My beef is with my dad when he comes into my bedroom, catches me wrestling with myself. But it's... That's not a good call. No.
You don't like that call. I don't know, dude.
Hey, John.
I would not have run you, but Alvy did. Alvy, I thought that guy was funny. That was a great reaction to a prior beef. How do you run him? You see, even you think it's funny. Alvy, why did you run him? Of course it was fake. Alvin's like, I'm calling fake. Of course it was fake, Alvin. That was the joke. He was responding to the guy earlier, Vaughn, of course, who said the only thing worse than running up on your parents wrestling is running up on one of them wrestling. And this guy just said, yeah, my beef is with my dad who can't. Anyway, Alvin. I don't know, dude. I've given you the power and the hammer. The power to use the hammer. But sometimes I do not agree with your use of the hammer. In this case, that time. Even, right? Even you're second-guessing yourself. Let's keep this thing moving. Let's go to El Paso. Bobby in El Paso. Bobby, what's your beef? Yo, Bobby, what's up? Probably better that way. You don't like that cup. I don't like that cup. Not a very good probably call. Better that way, because I know what his beef was. And it was going to break one of the rules of the program. I was going to let him attempt it, but it dealt with personal appearance. You want to know what it was? You know what it was? He had a, quote, beef with short, fat dudes.
Fat?
Short? It's not their fault, yo. And besides, personal appearance is not show fodder. All right, so look who's back. Shaky T. Tony in Phoenix is back for the second time. He's trying to match a jungle record. You can't ever break this record because nobody could ever be on four times in one day. But somebody has been on three times in one day. And this will be the second time in one day. Tony in Phoenix. Tony, what's your beef?
Rome, what a day to call on beefs, right? But my beef with the self-checkout register guy. I'm going in to buy something at the grocery store, and then I got to pay and put it in front of something and scan it myself while this person's watching me. Yo, don't you work here? Don't you have anything to do? Am I going to get a discount after I'm done with this? Because I'm doing more. I'm putting out more work than you are at this moment. That's not a
good call. No. Tony. You don't like that call. I don't like Tony, that you call. Just said it. Not a very good call. It's self-checkout. Why are you waiting for somebody who works there to check you out in the, quote, self-checkout line? Dude, you started the day by saying, I'm going to be the guy who gets on three times. And what's happened since then? You've gotten run twice. Nobody's been run three times in one day. And there's no doubt in my mind that if I allow you the opportunity, you will be the guy. That Tony, that makes no sense. I've got a beef when I'm in the self-checkout line that the employee over there is looking at me, doing nothing. Why are you not helping me? Because you're in the self-checkout line, Shaky T. Wow, dude, that... Dude, I no words. I'm a wordsmith, and I've got no words for how horrible that was. Well, you've been on twice, and you've been run twice. Shall we make it three? Here's the thing, Tony. Here's the thing, Tony. You're going to have an all-time jungle week in the sense that if you get run three times in one day... That might get you a three strikes and you're out, to quote Commissioner Ears, for life. My man, I take the rest of the day off. You don't want that. You don't want that. Three strikes and you're out, and not for the day, bro. You will not live to pick the bat up again. Don't do it. That's our deal. Tony, if you want to try to set the record straight, and not just set the record for futility, that's our deal. If you call up again and you get run again, you're blocked. And you know we've blocked almost nobody in the history of the program. Dude, there's got to be a standard. There's got to be a bar. I can't just let anybody in. My man, put the bat down. Put the bat down. Don't call back. 1-800-636-8686. We're running out of time. George in Tampa. My man. George, what's your beef?
Pimp in the box. Been a minute, brother.
Dude, there he is. George, what's going on?
Hey, man, all is good, bro. I just, I've been trying to call because I see you made a segment especially for me.
My
beef, Romy, is with the cost, with the powers that be, the grocery stores, all the guys who have their hands on the situation. The cost of beef is sky high, and that's my damn beef. I got to move the needle somehow, Romy.
I hear you, dude. Much respect. George in Tampa. The reason I got so excited about George in Tampa is famous. George made one of the most famous calls ever on the program, in my mind, because I used to be in sales, and I was terrible at sales, and George called the program, and when I went to him, he was in the middle of a sales call, and it was absolutely incredible. I can either do it now, Alvy, or save it and finish off the beef segment. Let's finish it off. Let's go to the ATX. Vince. I have an idea where Vince is going, but let's find out just to be sure. Vince in the ATX. Vince, que pasa?
How's it going, Romy, in the ATX? You know it here. Man, Jarrah, wait a, only in the off season. What, you, CeeDee may walk, Micah may walk, but you consider bringing back Zeke Elliott? Oh, my gosh. I'm out of here. Hook 'em.
Well, at least, Vince, you didn't say hurry up and die, Jarrah. I'll give you that. Do you want to go to Nashville or do you want to go to Boise? We can do both. Let's go to Nashville. Kenny in Nashville. Kenny, what is your beef?
My beef is with my wife. She calls me and I have to sit there and listen to her eat on the phone. We've been married 26 years. At this point, I can tell you what she's having for lunch just by the sound of it on the voice. I think Alexander Graham Bell, if he'd have known that's what we did with phones, he would never would have bothered inventing it. That's it.
My man, nice job, Kenny. If Alexander Graham Bell knew what we do with phones, he would have never invented them. After 26 years, I can tell you exactly what my wife is eating just by the sound of it. She calls me while she's eating. Wow, dude. Boise has had its best day ever, or at least its best beef day ever. Let's go back to Ty. Ty in Boise. My man, back for more. What's up, Ty?
My beef, Romy, is Shaky T. Hey, idiot. It's self-checkout, man. You go there, you do what you do, and you get the hell out. The guy that's standing there staring at you is probably staring at you because you're like looking like you're going to steal some stuff, bro.
My man, Ty. Let me walk it off on that. Hey, idiot. Shaky T, my man, you understand that, right? You understand how whack that beef was. You calling somebody out for not doing their job when you're in the checkout line. The self-checkout line, I mean. Dude, that makes no sense. I would have to try so hard to intentionally make less sense than that beef. Dude, that was terrible. But the beef segment was actually awesome. I don't know that the stakes have ever been higher for a phone call. Outside of the smack off itself, I don't know that a single phone call has ever had higher stakes. Let's find out. We go back to Phoenix for the third time today. Shaky T. Tony, my guy, are you sure you want to do this?
Rome, there's only one way to try to make history. You can't go for a three-peat unless you give it a shot. But yeah, like I said, Rome, at least if I do get banned for life, I'll never have to call these whack-ass clones again. Last thing, war. I'm out.
That's not a good call. No.
You don't like that call.
I don't like that call. Not a very good call.
My dude, you know what you just did? You went to the highest, highest floor of the highest skyscraper you could find. You opened up the window. You looked down. We called the cops. Before I could even get the negotiator in to try to talk you off the ledge, you jumped. Tony, relax. Tony, you are loved. Tony, it's going to be fine. Tony, put that phone down. Take a step back. Step back and... Don't know! Thud. Now you're done.
Now I'm done.
Tony, I did every damn thing I could to save you from yourself. And you jumped. You jumped. Man, my man's had a week and it hasn't even been a week. It's only Thursday. Dude, you know I have to enforce that, Tony.
Fuck!
Tony, you're blocked.
Fuck!
You know I have to enforce that, Tony. I can't follow through on that threat. Dude, you are officially blocked. You can never call ever again. You're welcome to use the X platform. Just know I'm not going to read it ever again. I can't believe you did that, dude. Was that worth it? My man, that's not going out on your sword. That's quitting. Now you're done. Wow.
Now I'm done.
He ran himself. Wait a minute. Tommy. Let's talk for a minute. Are you trying to take up with this guy and saying that I didn't run him? He ran himself. Therefore, he didn't get run three times?
There might be a small loophole here because technically he ran himself before Alvin was able to drop the hammer. He was already gone when the hammer fell.
Like, you can't fire me, I quit?
Exactly. Might have skirted the hammer by doing that?
Alvin, no. Where do you come out? Shaky A, what do you think? Shaky A. Shaky A swings the hammer again, says he's done, dude.
For life.
Shaky A just brought the hammer down. You're done, dude. You see, I don't think his thing was, you can't run me, I ran myself. He knew. The strategy was not, you can't run me, I'll run myself. He knew what he was doing. Believe me, dude, he won't even know what happened. He'll be the first one on hold tomorrow morning. But he won't get through. Let's go to, oh, looky here. James in Portland. James, my man.
Jimmy, my man. And Tony has done it again. And you got to be careful, Jim, throwing the term shaky A around Alvin too loosely. But it sucks that shaky T got caught smoking the jungle crack today because his first call, Jim, was a legendary dropping of a deuce on live radio, Jim. What was it? Tiger Wooden Leg. And Jim, I'm not sure who is more nervous, Shaky T or Shaky A, simply giving us three prize picks. I mean, Alvy's so nervous, he has no idea what the words are coming out of his mouth. You're like, Alvin, give us your prize picks. Dude, doggy style, missionary, reach around. Come on. Come on.
James. My dude, I'm doing my very best to not only hold it together, but to stay employed. Alvin, check that shaky A. Dude, you talk about a guy getting loose. James just dialed it up. Never mind me running shaky T. I would not be the least bit surprised if I got a call from the suits and I got run permanently for life. For life. Ears himself may ban me for life. Dang, James. We are still on in the middle of the day. We are still carried by hundreds of radio stations and satellite. I don't know, dude. There's a line, my man, and you are tap dancing all over it. Holy crap, James. Even Come Alvin on. Was in shock. Come on. Yeah, now you run him, Alvin.
Good night, now.